from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the re-wrap for Tuesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning we've got the latest polls. Yep. We've got concerns about the life expectancy of modern appliances, and now wine is good for you again. But before any of that, Stephen Joyce finally is in the race.
So no matter who wins, if they don't get all prissy, pissy and personal about it, they have a lot of momentum to drive them forward. But without a shadow of a doubt, within that field, Joyce wins hands down. I like Collins. She would be my choice if Joyce hadn't announced this morning. I like what Mitchell had to say yesterday, but you can't beat experience and profile, and Mitchell has neither. Not when you're up against a couple of seasoned pros like Collins and Joyce. And I like Joyce because when you deal with him every week, as we do on this program, you get to know a person reasonably well. His downside is he's bullyish. He can come across as a bit of an ogre, a bloke you wouldn't want to work for. He needs to tone that down. Upside is the record speaks for itself, whether it's the management of the National Party campaign into three terms of government, or the finances, which are as good as virtually any country in the world. Find a subject on the show on any given Wednesday that he didn't know about, doesn't know a lot about, speaks knowledgeably on. His brain is enormous. He is a self-made man, a traditionally important aspect, I would have thought, for National Party leadership. And like Key, doesn't need it. Hasn't hung around the place for years looking for it. In other words, he's doing it for the right reasons. His risk, he gets it and doesn't get to go all the way to 2020, but that to a degree is up to how he performs between now and then. But the important bit is, without Joyce, it was a good contest. With Joyce, it's no contest.
I think we're all agreed he could do with a bit of a zhush up image-wise. That's the only thing holding him back. Last time I saw him on TV, for example, they had him mysteriously walking out of the bushes down a path towards the camera, even though it was the middle of summer, in a business. He had a shirt and suit pants on, and the suit pants weren't quite long enough, and it looked very strange that he'd just come out of the bushes wearing that outfit. I don't know why they do that on the news sometimes. They just have somebody walking along before they talk to them for no real reason. I don't know what the theory is, but I don't work in television. I work in radio. And that's where we talked about the latest polls.
The news isn't bad for National. At 43, they're still very much a player. Remembering, of course, that Labor slumped to the low 20s in opposition. National, short of catastrophe, will go nowhere near that. But they need help. They need a partner. I wouldn't rule out a relationship with the Greens developing. And who knows whether there's a gap left on the sort of the right-hand side of the spectrum for some sort of new player. But the really bad news, though, the really bad news out of this poll is twofold. Firstly, New Zealand First are done for. Like the TV3 poll a couple of weeks back, they have sunk like a stone, and they've sunk because people see them for what they are, shonky traders. And you watch. It'll get worse as time passes and Labour and the Greens look to be a natural fit for government without the need of a third wheel. New Zealand First, with Peters retiring and oblivion at their doorstep, are the sort of loose units that will toss the grenades. The Greens have the same issue, and despite the fact they're outside the deal and on confidence and supply, they're still suffering the age-old MMP affliction. Small parties in government die. Every single one has suffered that fate. And Jacinda Ardern can wax lyrical about how they will rise and differentiate themselves over time, but the truth is they won't. They won't, and they don't. And she doesn't have a single example to prove me wrong. I think for Labour, we can still call this a honeymoon poll. I mean, they've done nothing wrong and they're still surfing the economic wave provided by National. None of their policies have any real economic bite yet. National, too, have a role to play. They need to pick the right leader. And more on that later next hour. But for now, Labour can feel pretty good. At 48%, they are back as a genuine operator at the highest level of the political game.
They just need to make some new friends. And by that, I mean actually make friends out of scratch, because their old friends are all disappearing off the bottom of the chart. We had Catherine Field on this morning from Paris talking about they're trying to do something to make appliances last longer, apparently, in France. It's such a French sort of thing to happen. Anyway, I think Mike thinks it's not such a bad idea.
Attention, Mike Hosking. Mike, reappliance longevity, and this is what Catherine Field was on, and the French are going to solve this one. They're going to put a sticker on the side of the appliances, and they're going to tell you how long they're supposed to last. A reappliance longevity, my wife and I still uses Zip pop-up toaster. It is reliable and consistent with great chrome plating. You've got to have the chrome plating. It is a wedding or engagement gift. They can't remember why, because it's just celebrated its 50th anniversary. 50 years of a toaster. You can't argue with that level of longevity as far as I'm concerned. And we had the pool heater. Pool man turns up at my place the other day. And the interesting thing about the pool heater at our place is that the previous owners of our house literally never used it. And I mean literally never used it. So the pool heater's 9 years old. We've used it twice. And when I say twice, I mean like in 2 days. 2 days out of the 2 or 3 years we've been in the house. So in its entire life, 9 years of pool heating, it's heated twice. And the pool man comes to me and goes, oh, your pool heater's buggered. And I go, why? It's not been used. He goes, oh, no, they just fall apart. They fall apart all by themselves. You just put them in. The moment you buy them and take them out of the shop, they start to fall apart and disintegrate. And I said, 9 years, that's a joke. And he goes, oh, in Australia, if it's in Australia, you're lucky to get 4 or 5. And I thought, what's happened to the world? Why isn't anyone building any proper
home? I'm a bit confused about how a pool heater's supposed to work.
Well, it heats the pool.
No, but you're saying you used it on 2 days.
Yeah, you hit the button, you turn it on to fire up the pool and get it super toasty, jump in and then turn it off again.
I thought it was sort of the kind of thing that you leave on like a hot water cylinder.
Can you imagine? No, it's not. Can you imagine if I turned it on and left it on? It would have lasted about 2.5 weeks. I mean, I'm lucky I got 9 good years out of it by doing literally nothing.
And you've had a bit of an issue with your printer as well, haven't you?
Don't bring my.
Is this the robot apocalypse that it started? They're going to take you out first. And then work their way down the chain.
Bring my domestic issues into this.
I had a bit of a scare. Speaking of pool heaters, I mean, I don't have anything as flashed in an actual pool, you understand. I've got a spa pool, which I haven't been allowed to use for many months because of the power price. But everybody was complaining about having a sore back the other day, and so got the go-ahead to fill it up and get it going again for its therapeutic effects. Nothing like sitting in a bit of bubbly hot water to make the back feel better. And I filled it up and switched it on. It didn't go. And then I realised it's because I'd overfilled it and the water had got into the air bit. And that's why the little screen said dry and not heating as it should have done. Don't worry. It's all dried out now and it's working fine. I know, you were panicking. Probably talked enough about that. I tell you what, sitting in there with a glass of wine in your hand, though, nothing beats that. That's the best feeling in the world.
Here's the really good medical news of the morning. And you know I've got a theme on this, and I search the world for all studies related to drinking of the red wine.
Busco's Fuddy Duddy Study Buddies.
So here's what's happening this morning. So you can have 2 glasses of wine, indeed beer. You can have 2 glasses of wine or beer a night.
Can you have a glass of wine and a glass of beer?
It doesn't.
Actually, I'd probably do it in the other
that,
order.
It doesn't say that, but the other day we had the news that the craft beer was good. So I think you could go craft and red, and I think you're still okay. And not only can you have a couple of glasses of wine per night, you can put on a few pounds as well. You can get fatter and drink more wine, and you will live into your 90s. And 18% reduction in risk of premature death if you do this. Not obese, just slightly overweight. It reduces the risk of early death by 3%. So 18% for the wine, 3% by being slightly portly. This is out of the University of California, and who would argue with them? 1,700 people who were in their 90s. So they went to the people in their 90s. They said, what's the secret? They said, look at me. Bit fat, couple of reds. That's what they said in a slightly older way. Anyway, 2 hours a day of a hobby, 21% lower risk of premature death. And 15 to 45 minutes of that moderate exercise, 11%. So add the 11 plus the 21 plus the 18 plus the 3. That adds up to about 112% as far as I can work out, which means if you do your exercise and your hobby and you're a little bit portly and you have a couple of wines a day...
You'll live forever.
You will literally live forever.
I'm confused because I feel like it was only just the other day that if we drank 2 drinks, we were chronic alcoholics.
No. That was fake news. You've got to remember, our methodology on this program is all research that presents things that we don't like is fake news, and everything that's presented that would dovetail, broadly speaking, with the way we want to live our lives is more than welcome and will be promoted heavily on this program at all times. It is, remember where you're
headed. I'm becoming a fan of science 100%. Now that I know how it works.
When science tells you what you want to hear, It's absolutely fantastic.
If people do want to carry out scientific experiments on me involving alcohol, I am happy to help. I can't supply it myself. That's assuming you're happy to supply the alcohol. I'm happy to supply me. Let's get together. Let's do this. I'm Glenn ZB. I'm donating my body to science, and I'm doing the same for you every day with the rewrap. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for more startling results.